The Hard Shoulder.
With the all-new MG HS plug-in hybrid. Petrol freedom plus up to 120 kilometres electric range. MG. Recharge your soul.
Now, a lot of you will be talking over the last few days about Stranger Things that has come to an end on Netflix. There's been a bit of negative reaction, isn't there always, says you, to the ending, mainly online, from things like How Do I Met Your Mother to the infamous Game of Thrones. This has become a bit of a trend where people aren't satisfied. So they sort of throw their toys a bit out of the pram at the endings of their favourite shows. Are these endings, though, really as bad as the online conversation would have us believe? And are any shows that kind of leave us all going, yeah, it was pretty decent. So joining me now is entertainment journalist Olivia Fahey to talk it through. Olivia, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
It's great to have you. Now, people are never happy. You always meant to leave them wanting more is the traditional showbiz and cultural advice. Looking at Stranger Things, it doesn't seem to be the case, but some other programs you've been watching over the years have got it better and got it more right.
Well, actually, I'm on the side of people who actually enjoys the finale of Stranger Things. And for me, I think it's a case of that when people don't like something, they just tend to talk the loudest. So okay. you've got people on Twitter who are giving out about
surely
it.
Surely not. Social media.
Yeah, oh, surely
people
not.
People loud
How
voices.
Dare they? But then you go over to the likes of Threads, and on Threads, it's a much lovelier platform, and everyone is actually singing its praises and saying, do you know what, like, it actually did a really good job at tying everything up and yada, yada, yada. So it depends on which one you use more as to whether or not you'll see, like, points that are being made, whether you agree with them or not. So for me, I actually think Stranger Things is on the better side of these finales. How I Met Your Mother was definitely one that I wasn't as irked by as most people, but I do agree that they definitely could have done it a little bit better. But for me, I actually think Friends was a very good example of a finale that most people couldn't really argue with. It kind of ticked all the boxes, didn't really do fan service, but definitely tied up everything in a nice little package that people were satisfied with. And the other one was Breaking Bad as well. Vince Gilligan just seems to have his finger on the pulse of, this is what I'm doing and you're going to like it. And you know what? We do.
And I suppose there's always going to be two groups. One group is going to say, I want more, and it's finishing too early. It's too abrupt. You know, it was just maybe they came to it late, etc. And they're getting into it. Then there's the other group, which you've mentioned, is people who go, yeah, I was kind of running out of energy. You know, just give it a decent burial. So you'll always have that where some people just think it's gone on too long. And with Netflix, as we know, they go on quite a while.
They do. And one thing I was only saying earlier on today is that for Stranger Things, it's not really their fault that things took a little bit longer, because between season 3 and season 4, there was a massive gap. But we have to remember, there was also a load of strikes happening at the time. There was a COVID-19 pandemic. So there was a lot happening that actually ended up making things spread out a little bit longer than maybe people would have wanted and anticipated, which of course caused the kids to age up a little bit quicker than you would have wanted them to, and all these other different things. So I don't really blame the filmmakers for that. I think that was, they were just kind of like a victim of circumstances. But yes, with a lot of these things, when you have a cast of this size as well, you also have to remember that their schedules are all going to start getting booked up the more popular that they get. So you are going to be waiting a little bit more time in between seasons, especially something that's as heavily SFX'd, and you've got all your CGIs and things like that, like, especially with shows like that, because they do take a little bit longer to produce, because you want to make sure that they're right and you don't have people like me giving out so you can see the little squiggly lines at the side so you know it's a green screen.
But also, isn't it a case of nothing is really dead anyway? They'll inevitably become movies in a lot of cases, right? I mean, I'm just looking at a few other ones, Seinfeld, Dexter, Roseanne. Now, The Sopranos at 6 was a classic example where people just kind of went, what was that at the end? People didn't get it. So there's always that kind of leave them not wanting more, but leaving them scratching their heads going, what exactly are you trying to do here?
Exactly. And at the time of that, everyone was up in arms, sort of going like, oh my God, what was that? That's the worst finale ever. Whereas nowadays, it's actually looked upon with more like maybe rose-tinted glasses kind of thing. They actually say it's one of the better finales that they've seen for a big show like this. And I have to say, like, I kind of agree. I actually thought at the time, as much as it was an absolute shocker that you're like, oh my God, we don't get closure, I do think it was the right call for the show itself. And I suppose, not to spoil anything for the Stranger Things fans, but there is a bit of ambiguity now with the ending as well. It's like you get to kind of fill in your own blanks to a certain extent. And I kind of like that because the show was all about storytelling and a bit of mystery. And to like leave some things up to your own interpretation, I think was a very clever move by the Duffer Brothers.
Yeah, and also if you think about a movie like Misery, where you get fandom taken to a murderous level, right? We don't want to be that person, right? We don't want to be saying, get back into that writing booth and write more Stranger Things. I mean, some things just have come to an end and the people, the creative people behind them, move on to other projects and want to do something else.
Exactly. And actually, I think for those people who are kind of still craving more of this kind of Vecna story arc, there is still the first Shadow play that's actually showing in the West End. If anyone hasn't seen it, I couldn't recommend it more. It's absolutely spectacularly done. And the way that they can kind of convey Henry Creel using his powers, because it's a prequel and it kind of goes into a bit of detail that we get to see in the actual fifth season itself as well. So some of those like high school scenes that we see when Max is traversing through Vecna's mind, that kind of stuff is actually based on what's in the play. So it's a nice little Easter egg for those of us that have seen the show and then went back to the television series. So I couldn't recommend that more for people who are dying to get back into Stranger Things. But the Duffer Brothers have said that there is going to be a spin-off of sorts. It's not going to be a prequel or sequel kind of thing. It's going to be set in a new decade. It's going to have brand new characters, be set in a new town and not have the Upside Down. So it's going to be Stranger Things vibes, but not Stranger Things.
Okay, now what are the effects for Netflix as the platform? I obviously talk about Netflix from the business and economic side, so you're coming from a totally different perspective, but that was a big hit, but they've got others. There's plenty. There's K-pop, Demon Hunters, and all sorts of other stuff out there. But does this leave a bit of a gap in their schedule, or is there just lots of other things that doesn't really matter in the long term?
I think there is a lot of things, but what they did was, and I know like a lot of people were kind of miffed at it at first, but I think it was actually very clever of them to spread it out over the course of the Christmas period, because they knew that from a certain point there were going to be people kind of sitting down in front of their tellies to watch things and kind of go into hermit mode to a certain extent. So as much as we had the first four episodes drop the end of November, we then had all of this gossip and we had all of this kind of theorizing online for those 3 to 4 weeks before the next three episodes dropped on Stevens's Day. And of course, it's Stevens's Day. What are most people doing? They're staying in their pajamas, eating chocolate for breakfast and watching television. So it was a great idea for them to be dropping it for those of us outside of the US. The US got it on Christmas Day, whereas we got it Stevens's Day. And then again, for us again, it was New Year's Day for the final, which was a 2-hour, you know, extravaganza. So it's very clever of them to kind of be doing it this way, because they're more kind of taking note as to what people are actually doing throughout the year and trying to plan for their big drops around them, because they know that's when they're going to get the most retention from their audience.
Yeah, they've got a great PR operation, Netflix, because we don't talk that much about the flops that they've had. We tend to migrate to the...
Yeah.
Whereas the poor old movie studios, if they have a flop, they know about it. They get absolutely buried. So it's interesting the way we look at Netflix. We tend to go... We associate the platform with success, creative success. But I mean, I presume you go to their catalogue, they've had endless absolute, you know, things that have just crashed.
They do, and you know what? There's also examples of when there's been something that has actually been quite critically acclaimed, but maybe just didn't draw in the viewers that it needed to get like a second season. So one example that I can give is Chaos. I thought that was brilliant with Jeff Goldblum, and it was about kind of like the way that the gods operate on Earth, and it was Zeus Day, and it was like a kind of an alternate universe sort of style thing, but still very much grounded in reality, if any of that makes sense to people. But for me, I thought that was great, and it was like left a bit of a cliffhanger at the end of the season, but unfortunately people just didn't gravitate to it like a lot of others did, and it didn't get the viewership to guarantee a second season. So we're kind of left disappointed with no season two, and that's been the case for a lot of shows. If it doesn't hit the numbers, Netflix is going to pull the plug, and you can kind of see that if something isn't popular enough, like with the Suits spin-off starring Stephen Amell. That didn't get the viewership that people were hoping for, so that got pulled as well. Like, it happens in cable television as well.
Yeah, that they don't hang around. Lots of people texting in about this, of course, Olivia, and they got their own view. A lot of people sort of congealing around the idea that Game of Thrones and Lost are both the sort of joint worst ever endings. What do you think?
So I actually didn't mind Game of Thrones as much as other people. I do think that it was flawed in some ways, but for me, like, a lot of people were kind of aghast that Daenerys did that bait and switch so quickly, whereas I was a bit like, I could see it from about three seasons ago that this is where it was going to go. So for me, because my expectations were this is how it was going to go, I was more accepting of it. Whereas a lot of people who weren't expecting it, they had their own expectations for what it was going to end like. And that's why I think a lot of people were very aggro towards it. And I think it's the same thing of Lost. When you have like big shows like this that kind of promote fan theories and, you know, a lot of discussion as to like what you hope is going to happen, people kind of can't really let it go when they do see what has been produced in front of them, when it's not what they had imagined it going to be, which I think is it's a plus and a minus. So you get all the talk about it and the buzz, but then you also get the fan backlash when there's basically too many fan theories that are going off in the completely different direction that you're going with your finale, so that when it goes live, everyone's like, well, what the heck was that? So it's definitely a catch-22 sort of situation. Lost, I will say, I was disappointed by. I had tapped out halfway through, tapped back in, and then went, oh, basically nothing has changed.
So right, okay. It's as bad as I thought the first time. Just double checked.
Yeah. Honestly, they got a little bit lost along the way, shall we say.
Now, I'm one of these strange people that goes into all these series after they're over. Now, you've probably never met anyone like this because you're paid to be up to date and right on top of everything. So I will go and download all of these things after everyone is finished and all the hype has gone away and the tent has been pulled up and the cavalcade has moved on to something else. I mean, that's probably a bit odd to you, is it?
No, do you know what? I missed the boat on Buffy when it first aired. And so I didn't actually watch it until it had completely finished. So for me, it was actually quite fun to go back and see all these things. I'm like, oh, now I understand what that reference is and all these types of things. And like, oh, so that's where that person is from. Because you'd see people, like Amy Adams starred in an episode of Buffy before she was famous. And it's quite fun in that sense that you can kind of go back and look at all these things. And like, oh, so this is one of the early jobs that all of these different actors have. So in that sense, I do kind of enjoy it if you have kind of...
Yeah, so like I may watch Stranger Things 6 months from now. You know, I mean, it's just...
Honestly, and you know what? You'll be blown away by it because I actually went back and did a big rewatch. I had a friend who had never seen it and I encouraged him to watch it this year and he was also blown away by it and even has gone to London to see the stage show as well. So it is something that when people have just started watching it now, they are still getting the same enjoyment that those of us who watched it when it was first airing are getting as well. And it just means that there's more people for you to talk about it with.
Yeah, well, exactly. I just think of people as other viewers as guinea pigs. Let them have a look, see what they think. If it's rubbish, they are stuck with that, and then I'll come sweep in behind. That's at least the theory of it all. And in other general honourable mentions for series finales, we've got The X-Files, Desperate Housewives, Sherlock, Twin Peaks, Ozark, Undoing, Killing Eve, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Any of these leaping out at you for bad endings or good endings?
The Killing Eve one was so divided. Some people either absolutely loved it or they absolutely hated it. There was absolutely no middle ground. So I'm really glad somebody has brought that one up because I think that one actually divided people more than any other series finale that I've seen in the last, say, decade. Like, they were so against each other. You didn't know which side anybody was going to fall on.
Okay, listen, you've given a very balanced view. You've kept everyone happy. People will be listening to a lot more after this extra people about different things on Netflix. You've kept them all on board. And I know it seems to be very controversial, divisive even, some of the reaction I saw online. I never even saw the bland thing. So there you go. Olivia, thank you very much. Olivia Fahey is an entertainment journalist walking us through what makes a good finale. Very interesting conversation. And yesteryear, there's plenty of other things coming up that we'll have to talk about. Okay, coming up after the break, we'll be talking about AI and cancer patients and how they may be able to use it very positively.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the all-new MG HS plug-in hybrid. Petrol freedom plus up to 120 kilometres electric range. MG. Recharge your soul.